All right, welcome everybody to Moadon Ivri. That's Club Hebrew, which is what we're trying to do here. Welcome. We are in the book of Zephaniah, believe it or not. How many people get to go through Zephaniah? And we went through Habakkuk earlier. You can hear that on iTunes U, as you can hear our other recordings. So feel free to do that, everybody out there in cyberland. We are on chapter 2, verse 4, and just to refresh yourselves from before the Easter break, remember, Zephaniah has this classical prophetic outline in which the first part of the book, basically chapter 1 through the first couple of verses of chapter 2, is oracles of judgment against specifically Judah. Now we're going to be in oracles of judgment against the nations, and then in chapter 3 is this beautiful chapter, this beautiful section about oracles of hope of restoration for God's people. So the classical outline that you will see, not always perfectly carried out, but here pretty nicely, judgment against Judah and God's people, judgment against the other nations, and then oracles of hope and promise. All right. So you will see that very clearly when we get to chapter verse 4, that we're starting specifically against other nations that are surrounding Israel. Again, the other major theme to keep watch on is the day of the Lord. Described in chapter 2 as this day of wrath. Remember the descriptive language that Zephaniah used to describe what it would be like on that day. And now that day is coming on the enemies of God's people. So we're going to take it up with chapter 2. Verse 4, Ki aza azuvatihya vashkelon lishmamash dod batza haraim yegar shuha vakron te akade. All right. Now notice again it's plays on words. For Aza, that means Gaza. So who we're dealing with now is going to be the area of the Philistines. Gaza was one of the chief cities in the Philistines, and that's the cities that are going to be referred to. All right, so around Israel. So Gaza Azuva Tihya will be forsaken. Notice the play on words. Aza Azuva. That Azuva is a call passive participle from what root? Azav. And notice it modifies Aza. Passive verb forms, nifals, passive participles, tend to act like adjectives, modifying. So notice Gaza forsaken will be, Tihya. Gaza will be forsaken. And Ashkelon, now you have to supply again the verb, will become Shemama. Shema means to be desolate. Here's a noun, Shemama, will become desolate. All right. Ashdod, here's the third city, Bad Zaharaim. Zaharaim simply means in the middle of the day, in clear day, in broad daylight. So Ashdod in broad daylight, Yegar Shuha. They will drive her out. Notice that this is a piel from the root garash. It's very easy. Here's how I always remember the root garash. You park and drive out of your garage. Garash means to drive out. See? But it doesn't mean drive a car out. It means you drive people out. But you get the point. So notice that there's an impersonal they. A lot of times in Hebrew, an impersonal construction is used in just, you know, when you don't have an identifiable subject, so it's very woodenly, they will drive her out. But in English, good idiom, you might say, Ashdod, in the light of day, will be driven out. All right, but notice what the verb form is. Ashdod, in clear day, they will drive her out. And Ekron, here's the last city, Te'aker, will be uprooted. Okay? This is from the root akar, and notice it's a nifal form. This word also has a meaning to hamstring, like if you cut the Achilles tendon of a horse or something like that. All right, so here it means to be uprooted. Again, notice the play on words between Ekron and akar. So again, Zephaniah loves this kind of thing. It gives it kind of poetic justice, so to speak. All right. So notice we're talking about Gaza, Ashkelon, Ashdod, and Ekron. They all loom large in the biblical prose part of the Bible. All right, good. Questions on verse 4 about forms or anything? All right, verse 5. Hoy, Yoshve Hevel Hayam, Goy Keretim, Devar Yahweh Aleichem Kana'an Eretz Pelishtim V'ha'avad Tik Me'ein Yoshev. Hoy. Whoa. Yoshvei Hevel. This is a participle, plural, in construct form. So woe, from Yashav, woe, O inhabitants of the Hevel, of the region of the sea. Now notice you have construct Hevel, genitive Hayam, by the sea. So I would say, notice you ask yourself, what's the relationship between those two words? Woe, O inhabitants of the region by the sea. Literally, region of the sea. All right, again, talking about Philistia and the Mediterranean. Nation of Keratim. This is a word, a proper name that means Kerethites. And it's, I think, only used here, maybe a couple other times. But thought to be in parallel with Philistia, the Philistines. Remember, they were said to come from Crete. And so this is, one lexicon suggests it's a holdover from that. All right, so woe, O inhabitants of the region by the sea, nation of Kerethites. The word of Yahweh, Devar Yahweh, the word of Yahweh is upon you or against you, Aleichem. I like upon you because it's like, boom, it's coming. All right. Canaan, the land of the Pelishtim, Philistines. Notice it's in parallel with Keratim. Canaan, the land of the Philistines. And Ha'av Tik. Okay, notice the root from avad means to perish or to die. Here's a hifil form. Okay, I will kill you. I will destroy you. Notice that what is intransitive in the call, remember we talked about this in Hebrew class a little, intransitive in the call in the hifil becomes transitive. It's not causative. It's going to be, I will destroy you. Me'ain, that's min with a negative ain. Without a yoshev, without an inhabitant, that's a participle from yashav again. So yashav occurs as participles twice in this verse, once in the plural construct, once as a singular absolute form. Notice also, we talked about this in class, a bonus. Notice a switch from second person plural aleichem to second singular ka on the verb ha'avtik. All right? Again, happens in prophecy. It happens a lot in the books of the Bible. It seems to be a mark of style where it bothers us as English speakers. The reason for it, I don't know if we know, if it's rhetorical. But I wouldn't put a whole bunch of semantic weight on the switch, like I said, although some might. All right? Good. Any questions on verse 5? All right, verse 6. Yes, yeah, please. Yes. Right, and if you looked it up, you would see, notice that the vowel pointing is different. I mean, it's if you looked it up in a lexicon, it would be under the root with karat. The only thing that clues you in that's not a participle is that a participle would have a holem after the kaf. Yeah, koratim. So this is just one of those words where by process of elimination you begin to look and figure out what it is. All right. Okay, good. Verse 6. V'hayta chevel hayam nevot kerot ro'im. Nice infinitive construction. V'gid rot zon. Okay. V'hayta. The subject is chevel hayam. The portion by the sea will become. V'hayta. Okay. The portion by the sea will become a nevot kerot ro'im. This is a great construct. You know, this whole list, string of constructs. Nevot is a plural noun. The singular is nava. It means pasture. So this is pastures. Kerot is a noun from the noun kara, means well. This is a plural again, plural feminine, wells. Ro'im, the root is ra'ah. Participle means shepherds, to feed or to pasture. I think you all had that in your beginning Hebrew as well. So literally it's will become pastures of wells of shepherds. And again, you have to ask yourself, what's the relationship between the words? In better English, the portion by the sea will become pastures with wells for shepherds. So in other words, the urban centers are going to be destroyed. Pastors, what do shepherds do? Well, they're nomads. They go from well to well to well. So basically, it's saying, hey, all the urban centers, Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, boom, wiped out, no inhabitants. It's just going to become pasture land with wells. Or, yeah, Kara may not even be formally just kind of, you know, watering places for ro'im, for shepherds, okay? And gidrot, again, notice a feminine plural noun. Gedera means a sheep fold. So folds for tzon, for sheep. All right, so once again, the portion by the sea will become pastures with wells for shepherds and sheep folds of sheep. All right. Good. Questions on verse 6? All right. Good. Verse 7. Vehaya chevel lish'erit beit Yahweh alehen yirun. Bevate ashkelon ba'erev yirbatzun. Ki yif kedem Yahweh Elohekem veshav shevitam. All right. And it will become a portion. Notice chevel is used three times here, so you get a good... Usually chevel means a rope. All right? Here it's used rope in the sense that it forms a boundary. That's why I'm translating as portion. So in verse 5, the portion of the sea. Verse 6, the portion of the sea. And here, it will become a portion, lish erit, for the remnant. Sha'ar means to... remain, to be left over. Here's a noun. For the remnant of the house of Judah. So it will become a portion for the remnant of the house of Judah. So it's already talking about hope beyond the exile. There will be a remnant. Okay? Alehem, on them, namely the pastures, I'm assuming, Yirun, they will shepherd. This is a call imperfect, third plural from Ra'ah, with a paragogic nun. On them they will shepherd. Okay? In bate, in the houses, from bat, okay, bait, batim, in the houses of Ashkelon, ba'erev, in the evening, yir batsun, they will lie down. Again, call imperfect, a masculine plural from rabats, again with a paragogic nun, which we've seen, okay? On them they will shepherd. In the houses of Ashkelon in the evening they will lie down. Ki yif kedem Yahweh Elohekem. For Yahweh their God will visit them. From pakad. And the mem at the end is the third plural suffix. For Yahweh their God will visit them. Veshav, what's the root? Close. The other one. It's the other common one. You got it. Someone said it. It's shuv, to return. And he, this is a idiomatic phrase, and he will restore Shevitam, their fortune, their prosperity, their fortune. Some suggest it means they will, he will return their captivity, depending on where you see Shevitam, the root coming from. Okay, but notice here, Shuv usually means return intransitive, like I will return in the morning. This is the only idiom in which it seems to take a direct object. It's kind of unusual, but it occurs all over the place. Psalm 126, for example, as this phrase that promises hope for God's people. See, so notice here in the oracles against the nations, there's this hint of promise for Judah, the remnant of Judah. All right, and that's especially prominent in verse 7 here. All right. Any questions about anything you see in verse 7? We're moving right along today. All right. He moves on from the one side, from the land of the Philistines, to the east side of the Jordan now, Moab. See? Shamati Cherpat Moab. Vegidufei b'nei Amon. Asher Cherfu et Ami. Vayagdilu al Gevulam. I heard, now Yahweh's talking here, I have heard the reproach of Moab. Okay, now notice this relationship. That's a construct, herpa, the reproach of Moab. It could either be out of context, someone reproached Moab, so Moab could be the object, or it could be Moab reproached someone else as a subjective genitive. And the context tells us that that's what it is. In other words, Yahweh heard Moab's reproaches against Israel. All right. So I have heard the reproach by Moab would be a nice kind of concise translation. All right. And the insults of the Ammonites, the children B'nai Ammon, the children of Ammon. Remember, you had the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Edomites on the one side. That's who we're talking about. So I've heard the reproach by Moab and the insults by the Ammonites. Okay? Asher Cherfu, who reproached my people? Okay, Cherfu is the root Charaf. Notice the noun Cherpa comes from it. Cheraf means to reproach. And here you have a PL, perfect, third common plural. Who reproached my people? And Yagdilu al Gevulam. And they, everybody see the root of Yagdilu? What is it? Gadal. And what conjugation is this? Hifil. Kal means to be great. The Hifil doesn't mean to cause to be great. It means to, it means a lot of different things, but to act great, to act arrogant, to speak great. So here it's something like, and they spoke arrogantly or behaved arrogantly over or about Gevulam, their border. In other words, they were trying to conquer Israel. See, they were always causing trouble. So Gevulam, Gevul is border, and Am is the suffix, the masculine plural suffix. Okay. So again, I've heard the reproach by Moab and the insults by the Ammonites, who reproached my people. And who, so you notice the subject is still Moab and Ammon, and who magnified themselves or who acted arrogant over their border. All right, so again, notice when you have a stative verb in the call, the hifil becomes transitive, or active, either transitive or intransitive. Okay? Good, questions through eight.
You said the verb
yes.
For parent?
Yes.
Yes,
the notice the verb comes in after asher, asher cherfu. That's a PL form because the resh doesn't take a dagesh, it spits it out and leaves it hanging there, and so it becomes a seyre. That's why it looks kind of odd. There's no dagesh in the resh to tell you that. The noun cherpa, see in the first line, shamati cherpat, that's the noun that is based on that root. And again, he's kind of playing with words because you have Gidufe and Yagdilu and Gevulun. See, and then the ayin, the ah, that sounds like a gimel. In, you know, I can't do it right, but the ayin and the gimel kind of sounded similar. Ugh, that sound. All right? So, yeah, Zephaniah is amazing for this kind of wordplay and stuff that he's doing. All right, anything else? Okay, verse 9. Lakein chayani ne'um Yahweh Zevaot Elohei Yisrael. Whoa, look at that name. Ki Moav kisedom tihya. Uvne Amon ka Amora. Mimeshak charu u mikre melech u shemama ad olam she'erit ami yevazum ve'yeter goy yin chalum. Now, okay, look at Lakein. Common usage in the prophets. After this description of the reasons or the grounds, you have this divine declaration or command, and that's what you get. So Lakein signals that. So surely, Lakein, now notice Yahweh uses this oath, Chai Ani, as I live. Chai Ani. Ne'um Yahweh, utterance of Yahweh, that's a frozen form used to begin prophetic speech, comes in the middle as it does here, sometimes at the end. Okay, so surely, as I live, Ne'um says Yahweh, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Notice the epithets for Yahweh. The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Surely, Moab, like Sodom, will become. Surely, Moab will become like Sodom. That's not good news, by the way. And the Ammonites like Gomorrah. Amorah. All right. A Mimshach, that's a hapax, so you don't have to learn it. It's something like, no one is quite sure what it means, a place of possession or a bare field or something. With a charul is a word for thorns or nettle. So a place of the nettle, and a mikre, a pit of salt. All right. Remember we had that word earlier with nevot kerot. Kerot meaning wells from kara. Well, notice you have the same root, kara, to dig, with a mem attached, makes it a noun, a pit. See how that works, everybody? So, and a pit of salt, and shemama, and desolation, adolam, forever. The she'erit, the remnant of my people, yevazum, all right, will spoil them. What's the root of yevazum? Well, you got two letters, right? Beit Zayin and another Zayin, Bazaz. Bazaz. And the way you know that, if you look at the Dagesh in the Zayin, that's one way to clue you in. It's kind of a strange pointing. So you have a bunch of these words. Bazaz means to spoil. Booz means to despise. Bazaz means to despise. See, I always get those mixed up. So, remnant of my people, the remnant of my people will spoil them. And the yeter, again, a synonym for remnant, the leftover of the nation, yin chalum, will inherit them from nachal. Call verb from nachal, to inherit, will inherit them. So, once again, verse 9, surely as I live, says Yahweh, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Certainly, the key I'm using as a focus particle, certainly Moab will become like Sodom and the Amorites like Gomorrah. A possession, a place of the nettle and a pit of salt and desolation ad olam forever. The remnant of my people will spoil them. See, notice how you get that remnant language here. And the remnant of the nation will inherit them. Okay? Questions?
Yes. Spoil?
Yes. Bazaz means like when a military goes in and gets the spoils of victory, right? You have a number of words, right? Bazaz, shasas, shasa, shalal. Remember, all those words are kind of synonyms for to do that action. Because in the Old Testament, people did a lot of that, so they had a lot of words for it. Remember, in any language, what's important to you is what you have a lot of words for. So in English, we have a lot of words for home runs in baseball. Think about it, because it's important to us. That was a joke. Anyway, I'll stop here. We'll take it up with verse 10. Thank you for your attention, and have a great day. Blessings.